Wonderful. I'm glad to be here tonight. I hope Brother Billy and I hope them and Miss Chris. How many of you got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Right, count? It'll count. Now, open your Bible tonight, and I'm glad you're here. In the book of 2 Timothy, find your place. Very familiar, but I want to read it to you slowly, distinctly. And I want you to get this. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3, verse 1. Now, we're going to try our best to read, and Brother Greg, this thing is, boy, it is hot. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul is writing to young Timothy. Well, let me see if you agree with this. I want to see if you agree. The longer something's done and the more people do it, it becomes accepted. Will you agree with that? Well, do this if you won't say amen. The longer it's done, the more people that do it, it becomes accepted. Especially when people of authority put their approval upon it. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. Now, just keep that thought in your mind. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, if you don't mind, I want you to write dangerous where it says perilous. Everybody will readily agree that that word means dangerous. I was telling my wife, we've been way over, do y'all know where McKee, Kentucky's at? McKee. Okay. If you go across over there and you go up through the Big Hill, where they cut through the mountains, I was amazed of how many people sitting out on the front porch. And I made a comment to my wife, Mary, they're sitting on the porch. When we would go used to in years gone by, everybody used to sit out on the porch. Everybody knew everybody up and down the road. Amen. And now we all put back porches or decks on, and everybody sits back there, and nobody sits on the front porch anymore. But I commented to Mary how everybody used to sit on the front porch. How many of y'all remember the black and white TVs? How many of you remember you had an antenna, and you had to go out there, and you would turn the thing, and they'd say, hold it right there. Do y'all remember that? How many of you remember Red Skeleton? I'm getting to a point. Red Skeleton, the Red Skeleton show, black and white. He was the best I ever seen in my life at what's called charades. Now, I want you to keep that thought in your mind. Know this, last days, perilous times shall come. Now, look in verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And then he says, unthankful and unholy. Now, look in verse 3. Without natural affection, Paul says to young Timothy, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. How about that? Incontinent. Fierce. Then he says, despisers of those that are good. Look in verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Now look in verse 5, and let's read it together. Having a form of godliness. Well, let's be Baptist for a minute. Let's read it together. Having a form of godliness, but denying. I just want to see. From such, turn away. Now, look in verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captive silly women, it says, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Look in verse 7. Ever learning, Paul says, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And now he gives us two examples. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now I want to keep your finger there, and I'm going to try my best to just put it in gear, and let's talk a minute. Go back and look in verse 5, having a form of godliness. I venture to say, anybody that's been in here, how many of you men have ever poured concrete? So you put the form boards, right, Brother Porter? You put the form boards down if you're pouring a sidewalk or a driveway, and whatever shape that form board is, when you pour that concrete in there, when it dries, that's going to be the shape. Whatever that form board is, that's going to be the shape of the concrete. Correct? Do this. Having a form of godliness. Remember I brought up the word charade? Remember Red Skeleton? I brought up the word charade. Have you ever seen anybody that's an impersonator? Have you ever seen anybody that could impersonate somebody else? I have. I've seen people that absolutely could impersonate people. And you would actually think, if you wasn't in the same room with them, that it was that individual that they're impersonating. That's how good they were. I want to use this tonight on impersonation. What do you mean by that? Now watch it. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, of such from such turn away. I have been preaching 50 some years of my life, every week of my life, but I had, and the Bible is new. You don't never exhaust it. Today I was reading, look where it says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now would you please underscore that, and I'll come back to it. I'm talking about impersonations. Notice in your Bible, the false pretense is having a form of godliness. Look in your Bible. Having a form of godliness. The devil is a master at counterfeiting. Let me say that again. He's a good at impersonating. He has counterfeited this thing called biblical conversion. If you talk to people about being born again, saved, washed in the blood, I'm sorry, and you lay the Bible down right beside of their life, people don't even know what biblical conversion really is. Let me ask you a question. Now, let's start no war. If a person is really saved, will you agree that they are changed from inside to outside? Do this. They're changed from inside to outside. God changes your speech. He changes your conduct, changes your attitude, changes your appearance. Now, let me just do this. Y'all going to go out here tonight and say, he's judging. All right, does people, saved people, use the language that this world uses today? I'm talking about these words. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You hear it all the time. I will call them on the carpet about it. But I'm just saying this. Listen to me. Having a form of godliness. The devil is a master at counterfeiting. Number one, he's counterfeited conversion. I remember where I was from, a little old place called Lincoln County, Kentucky, Crab Orchard. When a man got saved, guess what? If he was a bootlegger, he quit making liquor. Y'all are going to sleep on me. But they quit making liquor. All right? Now then, they get saved. They go right on doing the same old things they've always done. There's no change whatsoever in their life. Amen. That is what I call impersonation. I told a man today, he called me from over in North Carolina. I told him, everybody wants to be saved. Everybody I know wants to be saved and like to think, well, I'm going to heaven. But they don't want to have no godliness in their life. The Bible said, let me show you this. Flip over to the book of 2 Corinthians with me right quick, hurriedly. And I want to show this to you. Look in your Bible in 2 Corinthians. Forget Melvin Sisson. Forget anybody else. And read this verse with me, please. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And look in verse 1, please. Everybody look in your Bible. Paul is talking to you. He's writing to the Corinthian church. And here's what he says. Having therefore these promises. That's chapter 7, verse 1. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Say it again. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Where is, people say, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, right? Where is the holiness in their life? Now I'm not talking about all this stuff out here. I'm talking about genuine holiness in your life. I'm talking about wanting a desire to want to be different than the world. That's what the book says. Having a desire, yes, in your Bible, look in your Bible, having a desire, therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. I love Brother Billy Miller. Listen to me. You don't need him to browbeat you. Every time you turn around, you don't need some preacher to do that. If you're saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Amen, preacher. And you're to cleanse yourself. Look in your Bible. That's chapter 7, verse 1. When my wife and I, when we went to the mission field, you didn't have to tell them people after they got saved to go put blouses on and cover themselves up. They just immediately done it. You didn't have to tell them, hey, y'all, you're going to follow the Lord in baptism? They would come and they'd ask you, when are we going to be baptized? Ain't that a blessing? What I'm saying is, the Bible says having a desire, and then we're perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now watch this. Go to 2 Timothy with me. Watch this. All right, we're talking about this thing about impersonating, or we're talking about, Paul said, they'll have a form of godliness. Let me ask you a question. Y'all ready? Is God in this, Junior? Porter, is God in this? How in the name of heaven can a church have a vacation Bible school? A vacation Bible school. Did y'all get that? A vacation Bible school, and it's nothing but on the walking dead. What in the name of heaven has that got anything to do with God? I mean, dressing up like a bunch of zombies. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? How many of y'all know who I'm talking about when I say the walking dead? I've never seen one. I don't want to see it, but I've seen pictures of them zombies. They let them kids dress up like zombies. God ain't a million miles of that stuff. If you don't say amen, I'm going to stay here 3 hours. Having a form of godliness. Look in your Bible. Churches today are involved in everything under God's green earth, and God ain't in a million miles of that stuff. And the longer it's done, the more people that do it, it becomes accepted. And these preachers ain't got enough backbone to preach against it. Amen, sister. Boy, hey, personally, this is what I think. I think once you get saved, everybody needs a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And you don't need everybody sometimes to pat you on the back and, boy, you're doing such a good job. You ought to have a desire to want to do a good job because he did so much for you. Now, let's go back, 2 Timothy 3. Notice now in your Bible, having a form of godliness but denying the power of such. And then he says, do what? From such, turn away. So today I wrote this down. I got to thinking about how that people today are, the conversion aspect. Let me show you what I mean. Let me show you. Brother Porter, give me your hand. Give me your right hand. Now, I want to watch this. I want you to watch. You can ask anybody you want to ask, Porter, if you was to die, would you go to heaven? Mm-hmm. And every time, their hand will squeeze. And if they're not, their hand will go just as limp as a dish rag. It will. I do it all the time. I do it purposely. Their hand will go just as, I mean, just limp. And don't you think they ought to be a bearing of witness of spirit? Don't you think the Holy Spirit of God, that if he's really saved or her, lives in them and it lives in you? Don't you think they ought to be a bearing of witness of spirit? Amen. Then why does their hand go limp as a dish rag? Did I tell you about this man I'm fixing to? Had my garage door up and was changing oil on my car. He come in, and you ought to seen him. He had a bunch of these things in his hand. Boy, he's just, smiling from ear to ear. He said, hey, preacher, listen. He said, you know I'm running for office. Are you going to vote for me? I said, no. Preacher, listen. And he kept on laughing. He said, why ain't you going to life more? I mean, why are you not going to vote for me? Aren't you registered to vote? Are you not going to vote right? He said, I've known you a long time. I said, I have you too, and you've never kept your word. Let me tell you what I did do. So he had all the, he wanted to know, was I going to vote? Was I going to vote for him, right? So all I did was this. All I did was, and I'm not going to call his name. I said, tell me something. Are you a saved man or refuse to die? And I wouldn't let him say nothing. Refuse to die, would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? I just kept holding him by the hand. Yeah. He looked, he just dropped his eyes down to the floor and wouldn't look at me. And I said, sir, don't you think you come in here asking me, was I registered to vote? You asked me, was I going to vote for you? I said, it's important to realize that if you was to die, there is a hell, there is a heaven, and if you don't know Christ, that's where you go, is to hell. I'm responsible. I don't want their blood dripping from my hands. Let me show you this now. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of such, turn away. Flip over to the book of 2 Corinthians with me, right quick, hurriedly. The book of 2 Corinthians, and let's read chapter 11, and I want you to read verse 13. I can quote this verse, but I'd rather read it to you. Paul said in verse 13, for such are false apostles. There's no such thing as an apostle. In order to be an apostle in this day and time, you had to witness the death and the resurrection. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now look down in verse 14. No marvel, Paul said, for Satan, capitalized, the Bible says, himself is transformed into an angel of light. Not Nightmare on Elm Street. Not a boogeyman. Not red underwear, long tail, two horns, and a pitchfork. It says an angel of light. Now look in verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, look out now, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're in the pulpit. They're in the pews. They're impersonists. They're impressionists. They change like a chameleon. Amen, preacher. What I'm trying to get you to see is this thing called, he plainly says, having a form of godliness. You may fool me, but you can't fool the Holy Ghost. You cannot do that. Amen, Brother Sisson. Now let's go back right quick. Go back to the book of 2 Timothy. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, such turned away. So I got to think about false pretense, a form of godliness. Question, let me ask you this question. How many of you remember the hour or day you got saved? Raise your hand real high. Has things not changed since the time that you got saved? Now let me ask you a question. People used to, when they got saved, they was broken. And the Bible says the Lord is nigh them of a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. All right, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is. Why is it that on conversion, you see, and I don't agree with this, Brother Porter, and I will die believing this. I don't believe you get saved popping bubble gums.
No, amen.
But I've seen so much of that till I'm sick of it. They're on cue, they'll start singing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for thee. And they start coming down the aisles, and he's got his hand in her back pocket, she's got his hand, and they're holding hands, and they're giggling, and they're laughing. You don't get saved like that.
Amen.
Look at me. You don't get saved like that. And then they'll get up here, and somebody will give them a card to sign, and they'll say, we had all these outstanding young people coming, trusting Christ. And they're making fun, and laughing, and giggling, and carrying on. I don't believe a word of it. Make them a twofold child of the devil. Notice in your Bible, genuine conversion changes you. All right, but the devil, it says he's a master at counterfeiting. He's counterfeited the church. Boy, did I say a mouthful then. Look at that. Y'all going to wish that Brother Billy was back. If there's 1,741 different denominations of faith, somebody's wrong. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Now, I could ask y'all an embarrassing question, and I don't mean to. I'm not trying to put myself up here on no pedestal. But if I ask you, why are you a Baptist, could you tell me? I mean, could you just tell me why you're a Baptist? Well, my mama was. That's the wrong reason. My daddy was. Wrong reason. All right, my that's the wrong reason. You ought to know why you believe what you believe.
Correct.
You may not know chapter and verse like every preacher or Sunday school teacher, but you ought to know why you are a Baptist. Amen, sister. Why do you attend the Baptist church that you attend? The Baptist name is not going to get you to heaven. But it's the name outside the door as to what you get taught. Does everybody understand that? That's the reason why it's so important that you understand. I could ask you, why do you use the King James Bible? Why do you do that? Well, preacher, mom and dad, my preacher, he always used a King James version of the Bible. Notice I didn't say version, I say Bible, King James Bible. All right. Why do you carry an authorized King James Bible? Do you know why? I mean, unemphatically, I mean you could say, that is God's word. Well, how about the NIV? How about all of the omitting of the letters that they omitted? Is the Bible God breathed? The devil has counterfeited even the canon of the scriptures. NIVs, TIVs, RIVs, on and on and on. Then we got this non-gender Bible. God's neither feminine nor men or female. It's coming out. Please listen to me. The devil has counterfeited the canon of scriptures. He's counterfeited the church. He's counterfeited conversion. I'll tell you another thing right quick before I really get going on. He's counterfeited the coming of the Lord. There's a man testified last night, or night before last, that blessed me. He is on a crutch. And here's what he said. And he had a real good spirit about him. And he said, I got up this morning thinking this would be a great day for Jesus to come. And I just asked myself, I thought, I wonder how many people got up this morning and thought about Jesus coming today, or this moment, or this hour. It would be very few. Is the promise of his coming. Most people don't ever even think about the coming of the Lord. And all you got to do is look around here, buddy, and look at the condition of the world. And brother, something climatically is fixing to happen. It's the coming of the Lord. Woo! And the Antichrist, the Antichrist, is absolutely, brother, he is portraying this to get people. Television. Look up here just for a moment. This is one of the classic examples I ever seen in my life. I could ask them boys back there and they could help me. What is an android? Tell me, what is an android?
Typophone.
Now, am I saying it correctly? I must not be. I'm talking about them things that's on the war games. I've only seen one of them that looks so much like a human that you can't tell the difference between a human and this android or whatever he is. I may not be saying it correctly. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? They look identically to a human. Honestly, they do. Well, Brother Sisson, why are you bringing that up? Used to, 50 years ago, that would absolutely be never thought of. The Antichrist is able to make objects come alive. Amen, Brother Sisson. He's counterfeited the coming of the Lord. Now watch, let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. Know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. But in verse 5, having a form of godliness. Boy, I'd like to thank everybody in here saved, washed in the blood. But I venture to say they're probably not. Wouldn't that be awful to take your last heartbeat and the demons of hell drag you off to hell? See, y'all have never seen nothing like that. It's a horrible, horrible. I looked at that pretty little old girl back there, Kelly's. My wife brought this subject up. Most of y'all know I got this great, great grandson. Oh, I love him. His name is Preston. But I wonder what in the world is going to happen to our children and our grandchildren. This thing is picking up momentum like I've never seen in all of my life. Did you know what was the number one show in 1960? Do y'all have a clue? It was. That was the number one show in 1960. Andy Griffith. Look at us now. What's number one? What grosses millions and millions and millions of dollars? It's fakery, false, impersonations. It's nothing but like Red Skelton being able to do all of those impressionists that he did. People, they don't even know what is genuine. Say amen. Our kids are so disillusioned. I've never seen nothing like it in my born days. Disillusioned with everything. I mean, they have no, not every one of them, but I mean, they have no work ethics. They don't want to work. They think, you know, I seen something the other day that upsets me no end. I love my children, but they ain't moving back in with me. Say amen. They're not moving back in with me. Now, Preston could. But I'm just, here are children, kids, going to college, graduate, get out of college, and they won't get a job and then move back in with their parents. Not because they have to, not because of a crisis, they just want to do it and no responsibility. Mom and dad keep them up. Pay their student loans. Say amen. I bless the Lord for grandparents that take care of children. But they shouldn't have to take care of their grandchildren. They have these children and then they don't take care of them. Leave them on doorsteps. It's awful. What in the world's going to happen to us in our churches? I got to show you this. I don't mean to be getting away from the subject. Go back to 2 Timothy 3. Having a form of God. All right, number one, a false pretense. Then I got to think about this in the pews and in the pulpits. And if he preaches no repentance, don't preach the blood, don't preach the Bible, he's a false prophet. Amen. Now drop down. Let me show you this and write this on the fly of your Bible. Look in your Bible. It says But they deny the power thereof. Look in your Bible. But they deny the power. Somebody tell me right quick what Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Most churches could go right on having services, and the power be so they wouldn't even know the difference. I'm telling you, whether you accept that or not, but denying the power thereof. Let me show you this. Flip over to Ephesians, please, and let me read this to you. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to read this with me. Go back just a few pages in your Bible and read this. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. And I want you to read this. I'm sorry, chapter 3. In verse 20, now Paul's talking to the church of Ephesus. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But in 2 Timothy 3, it says they're going to deny the power thereof. Are y'all listening? They're denying the power thereof. Now, I thought about this. Not only this impersonation, not only these charades, false pretense, a form of godliness, in the pulpit, in the pew, but then this forsaken power, but denying the power thereof. It doesn't make any difference what I say. It takes the Spirit of God to birth somebody into the family of God. As much as I want them to be saved, if they don't ever get under Holy Ghost conviction, they'll never get saved. Amen, sister. In years gone by, the preachers and the people sitting in the pews, they have power with God that we don't have in this day and time.
That's right.
Amen. We don't. But denying, look in your Bible, but denying the power thereof. Now here's the third thing. This is what I said I want you to really get. Back in 2 Timothy 3, now watch this. Oh, this rings my heart's bell. When I read this, I thought, I marked it in my Bible, and I thought, surely to goodness, I've not overlooked that. Look in 2 Timothy 3 and read this verse with me. And I mean, I want you to underscore in the Bible, of such turn away. That's what I want you to see. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What? I thought, well, not only the pretense, not only this false, they deny the power of God, but then I thought about how this forbidden partnership. It plainly says, did y'all ever read Romans chapter 14, where Paul says, mark them. Now, don't go out here and start no war with me. Used to, people that lived a conduct unbecoming to a Christian, they dismissed them. They did. In years gone by, they would go to that individual and try their best to be reconciled. All right, if they wouldn't hear them, they'd take somebody back with them and hear it and again. All right, Matthew 18. If they will refuse that, then they're to bring you to the church, and the church has the sole authority. Right. Are y'all listening to me? The church has the sole authority. But it says, mark them which walk contrary. I got to show you this. You wait till I show you this. You don't see a lot of this in this day and time, but flip over, if you would, in your Bible to Romans, please, chapter 16, right quick, hurriedly. Acts, Romans, let me show you. In Romans chapter 16, read with me, please, right quick. Look in chapter 16. Where in the world would we all be at if we had not got under conviction and got saved? Have you ever thought what you'd be involved in, what you could be doing? Most people, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Most people, they all they care about is money, 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 right? And they don't care how they climb the ladder of success as long as they get up there, and who they care who they how they walk on to get up there. Amen, Brother Sisson. But listen to this. Some of the most men that I've ever met in my life, when they get up on the very top of the ladder, they're empty inside. They're like a void in a vacuum. A house cannot fill the Vorman vacuum. A business and having all these perks that all these guys have, these CEOs and all this stuff. I believe a man ought to work. I believe he ought to make a living for his children. But first and foremost, the Lord Jesus ought to have the preeminence in our life. Now let me show you. Look in Romans, please, chapter 16. Look in verse 17, everybody. Now, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, brethren, Cliff, that means out of the same womb. Now I beseech thee, brethren, mark them which cause what? Oh, did I say that? Mark them which cause divisions. Now watch. And then he says, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Well, anybody here ever been around somebody been real critical? You ever been in a real good mood and you get around somebody that's real critical, did you know you'll get critical? Like, y'all don't agree with that, do you? If you're not spiritually real strong, you will. You'll let them affect you. Amen, preacher. He says to avoid them, mark them. How do you do that, son? How do you mark them and how do you avoid them? If I've got any sense at all, if you get out here in the world and you're a saved individual and you get out here in the world, I'm to love you. I'm not to agree with what you're doing, but I'm to love you. Galatians says, brethren, ye which are spiritual, one that's been overtaken in a fault, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. All right, if I really truly believe that, and I love that boy, and he's out here in the world, or Miss Hope, or Jess, or whoever, and they're out here in the world, I'm talking about they fell in the devil's trap. That's a different thing, falling in the devil's trap and willingly falling in it. Does anybody understand what I just said? There's a difference in willingly and the devil setting a trap for you and you falling in it. But if I have any sense at all, let me show you this. Flip over with me right quick to the book of Proverbs. I got to show you this. Go to Proverbs, please, and I want you to read this with me. Boy, this is going to knock your hat in the creek, as they say. Look in Proverbs, please, chapter 7, and I want to read verse 16. All right, in Mark, he tells us to mark them which cause division. All right, now remember in 2 Timothy 3, he says not only false pretense, a form of godliness, and then not only a forsaken power, but denying the power thereof. But then there's a forbidden, what I call a forbidden partnership. He says, from such turn away, shun them or avoid them. Now watch this, Proverbs 7. Ready? Chapter 6, I'm sorry. Look in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Did y'all get that? Yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look. And then he says, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Here it is, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. There ought to be unity in the house of God. There ought to be a bond between us that's not out here in this world. We ought to care about each other. And when somebody falls into a trap, you ought not try to push them on down. You ought to go to them and try to help them. Amen, sister. Not condone what they do. Love them out of it. Amen, preacher. But I got to thinking about that word, mark them, in Romans chapter 16. Years ago, we're talking about this liberalistic environment. Now, we're talking about in the 70s. It ain't like it is now. We had a baptism Sunday afternoon, baptized four in the creek. Ain't that a good thing? Yeah, I love creek. There's some of you I'd like to hold under a few times. But we had a good time at the creek baptizing people. But do you know, used to, I would baptize probably 25 or 30 on the creek banks Sunday afternoon. Ain't that a sight? Man, we'd get singing, shall we gather at the river, or what? Just singing, having a good time. The reason why I bring that up is this. Did you ever have anybody just hate the ground you walked on? I mean, literally just hated the ground you walked on. What do you do with that? We'd come out of this liberalistic thing, and I just couldn't live with the abortion crowd. Back in the 70s, y'all don't remember none of this. But I couldn't live with it. I mean, it was just killing me. And I told them, I have nothing to do with anybody that partakes and believes in abortion. Lines drawn. Hey, man, there's no cut, no black and white, all that's just sin. But anyway, well, they despised me, and all I did was try my best to tell them what thus saith the Lord. Well, it escalated and escalated, and he said and she said and they said, and go out here and say that, and go down here and say that and say this. And first thing, it's all over the church, just spreading like wildfire. Well, I went and knocked on the door. I tried to do it. I didn't try to kick the door down. I just went up there real nice and knocked on the door. Well, they come to the door. She did. And I asked them, could I see her husband? And she said, real indignant, this preacher's out here, like that. Okay, so I walked in, just stood there for a few minutes, and I said, I'm deeply sorry for the way that this is down. Now, is there some way that we can minimize the collateral and not tear this church all to pieces as a result of gossip? Now, is there anything wrong with that?
No.
I mean, I've done it not in hateful, not arrogantly. I asked him, I said, could we pray? Could we just have prayer? Could we do that? Well, he's when people are upset, and I'm just trying to get you to see, when people are upset and emotionally upset, it's hard to deal with people when they're hurt. Whether it's justifiable or unjustifiable, it's hard to deal with them. Say amen. Anyway, I hugged his neck, hugged her neck. I said, I promise you I'm going to pray for you. I have still got the letters, I should burn them, to where that they sent the most awfulest hate mail you ever read in your life to my mailbox. I mean, the awfulest stuff, not a word of it true. You know what I've learned? Not take a quarter of a baby aspirin and worry about it if it's not true. I'm not going to worry myself to death. But now watch this. Watch. Jesus had people that betrayed him. But look back in 2 Timothy 3, everybody. It says, having a form of godliness, correct? Ain't that what it says? Having a form of godliness. So these charades, we need to junk all that stuff. Say amen. Just junk it. Quit playing charades and just say, Lord, help me to love you more. Amen, preacher. Boy, I love this. Can you love the Lord too much?
No.
You can't love the Lord too much. Well, I'd rather stand before him knowing that I love somebody or just despised him. And I learned this, bitterness will destroy me. It won't hurt them, it'll destroy me. It says, lest there be a root of bitterness thereby springing up and many be defiled. But the Bible plainly says, of such turn away. I don't have all the grasp on it I'd like to, but I know this. Brother, we're living in a time of charades. People are just playing games. God bless your heart. I hope you can glean from it. Hey, let's pray tonight. Let's just bow our heads, and Brother Porter's going to come. If you're here tonight and you have a need in your life, I don't know about you, but boy, I know people that just truly need the Lord.
Page 191.
Father, help us, Lord Jesus, to love you more. I pray, God, more than anything in the world, when our lives is over, may you be pleased with our life. God bless these dear people. What a blessing they've been to my family and I. Prayed for my wife. God, thank you so much for people that pray one for another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. If there's one here that's unsaved, oh God, finger around their heart. Bring them to the end of themselves, and may they cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray in his wonderful name. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, please, just for